computer games for changing the world. This is Future Tense from American Public Media. I'm John Gordon. Just as some filmmakers, novelists, and poets seek to fight social ills like poverty and violence by highlighting those problems, computer game makers, too, are beginning to use their medium to promote social and political change. In a game called Peacemaker, players attempt to end the Israeli-Palestinian conflict by assuming the role of the Israeli Prime Minister or Palestinian President. Darfur is Dying is a web-based game designed to raise awareness of the humanitarian crisis in Africa. Food Force teaches children about global hunger and humanitarian aid. Mary Flanagan directs the Hunter College Tilt Factor Lab, which researches and promotes software and games for social change. At a recent technology conference, I asked her whether games are an appropriate vehicle for addressing serious world problems.
There is a real concern about making something playable and fun. Does it belittle or does it anyway make a very large issue maybe too simple? Could that actually reduce the social meaning or reduce a very grave issue to something simple? That's a concern of a lot of game developers and activists. So people really try to bring in some complication, some empathy. I think no one's working on trying to make a fun shooting game about a social issue. We're really trying to say, okay, how are the actions of a game, could they be mapped with a social issue, and could that be really something that would be meaningful?
It seems like measuring the positive effect you could have with a game would be almost impossible. Is that a fair thing to say?
Unless it's a very specific educational game where you can say, okay, was this kind of mathematics learned, or was this concept learned, yes or no? If you really get into larger social issues where you're talking about decision making and complex critical thinking, it gets harder and harder to assess that. So I think like any piece of art or like any piece of film that may be consciousness raising, no one goes after documentary filmmakers and assesses how many people watch the documentary and their opinions changed. It's the same kind of medium. For some reason, though, I think people have that expectation of games more than something like film or a novel, and I'm not quite sure why.
One thing I don't understand is really the change mechanism. I mean, if you wanted change in Darfur, you might try to work with your senator and congressman to pressure the president to change his policy, or you might donate some money to a relief group. But when you just have a person sitting in front of a computer playing a game, how does that change anything?
First, it's a consciousness-raising thing, and that just people's knowledge of an event may in and of itself be informational and change something. But I think people are starting to figure out how to tie in game actions into real-world actions. There's a website called Free Rice, and by playing the game, you can have free rice donated. I think more and more. I mean, imagine if we have 9 million people in an online multi-user game such as a World of Warcraft, right? If we have millions of people online playing, and there are even more in some online game networks around the world. The United States is not the largest online game network. What if people were doing real world things together? What if, with millions of people, you could really have online schools? You could have any kind of social structure. We're still learning what those limits are and how we can really get off screen into real people's lives.
Mary Flanagan of the Tilt Factor Lab at Hunter College in New York City. I talked with her at the recent South by Southwest Interactive Conference in Austin, Texas. This is Future Tense. I'm John Gordon.